So let us come to worship God. I've got some words from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We sing our first hymn, 1008, The Lord's My Shepherd, 1008. Thank you, Joe. Please be seated. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for bringing us through this last week, for the little blessings we've experienced. We give you all the thanks and praise. We thank you for our beautiful world that you created for us. As we watch the leaves changing colour and falling majestically to the ground, the carpet of leaves covering everything beneath them. We thank you for your provision this week, for hot meals and a warm bed, friends and family to talk to, a church to visit and pray and learn about you. Lord, you bless us so much each day. We think of people that we know are ill at this time and need your special touch. Those that have been in hospital, our friends in care homes. Lord, come alongside those who care for us. Lord, we pray for all the doctors and nurses. Give them wisdom and patience as they look after those in their care. Lord, we remember how you, as you walked on this earth, showed compassion to everyone you met. Please give us a caring heart and show us how we can pray for people in trouble. We pray for those that mourn at this time. Come alongside them in their time of need. Lord, we remember on this Mission Sunday all those people who work in projects that put people first. Whether it's in war torn countries, countries where disasters occur, or to feed people that do not have enough, or for the persecuted Christians all over the world that do not have the freedoms to worship as we do. We ask that you will enlighten us today and show us what we can do to help through the work of Open Doors. We ask that you'll be with John as he brings your message to us. Lord, we pray for those that lead our country at this time. Give them wisdom and understanding, and give them patience, and help them to see each other's point of view, so that we can go forward as a country and build a society where people show more love and understanding for each other. Lord, we bring those people and situations to you that are on our hearts at this moment. Help us to be the people you want us to be, encouraging each other and serving you. Amen. Let's join together for the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now our young people are going to go to their classes. It looks very exciting, what I saw coming out of the bag on the way in. So let's just pray for our young people. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the leaders and their enthusiasm to share your love with the young people. Bless them in all they do. Lord, may it be a time of learning and fun, but they will know that they've been in your house and met with your love. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, let's continue our worship, shall we, as we sing 1086, Light of the World. Let's stand.
See you.
going to do the reading next. So I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1. And it's a passage that's all about hope. 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith,
of greater faith, worth, and gold,
which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy for you receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It's lovely to be with you this morning and to talk about Open Doors. We've come over from Maidenhead, so not very far. We've been involved with Open Doors about 10 years, and 4 years ago we had the privilege of going off to Iraq, and that's really what has got us into voluntary speaking. And we had an amazing time in Iraq. That was still when the war was going on there, and it was a huge privilege to meet the Christians from that country and how they were standing despite everything that was going on. And so that's how we got where we are today. For those of you that don't know, and I gather that a lot of you do know, but a lot of you don't know, Open Doors started 65 years ago by a guy called Brother Andrew with the book God Smuggler, some of you may have read. And he started smuggling Bibles behind the Iron Curtain. And it's developed from there, really. Obviously, the Iron Curtain's not there anymore, but there are plenty of places where it's really difficult to smuggle Bibles. And it's illegal to have Bibles. Even places that are well known and people go for their holidays, like the Maldives, for instance, it's illegal to have a Bible. It's illegal to take a Bible in. So it's still going on, the smuggling for Bibles. Now, every year, Open Doors produce what they call the World Watch List of the top 50 countries in the world with persecution. And it is increasing year on year, sadly. There are about 340 million Christians at the moment that are being persecuted. That's one in eight, with extreme or very extreme persecution. All of those in the top 50 are now extreme or very severe. But actually, the list now goes down to 75. In the Far East, there's an increase in surveillance and restrictions. In Africa, there's violence against Christians. 3,000 people killed in Nigeria last year. In India and Turkey, there's nationalism, all of which is fueling persecution. In the Middle East, we've got Afghanistan and Syria. Then we've got situations like Myanmar. And yet, wherever we look, even though there is persecution, the Lord continues to work. In Myanmar, they're living in the jungle, many of them, because of the oppression from the regime. And yet there were over 500 conversions last year, 150 people baptized, including many children. So wherever you look, although there is a great darkness, there's also great light. In Syria, the poorest country in the world now, because of the war, 90% are under the poverty line. Inflation is out of control. That's very difficult for us to understand. But look at it like this way. Whereas 10 years ago, a loaf of bread would have cost the equivalent of a pound, now that would be the equivalent of 70 pounds. Now, it's really difficult, isn't it, for us to take that on board. There's very little food, jobs, fuel, power, and yet the church is alive and working, and they have in Serbia what they call centers of hope, and this has gradually increased. There are now 45 centers of hope which are focused around the church. They provide trauma care, they provide food, they provide a spiritual input. There have been 750 what they call projects to get people to earn income. They've helped 5,000 families with aid. They've actually, amazing figure, since it all began, they've distributed 1 million food parcels over the last 10 years. But not only that, they've distributed Bibles and children's Bibles. And the church is growing, even there. It's very difficult for us to understand it. So I'm going to use a video now, and this is actually two young people. It's got a few figures at the beginning, and then we're going to run into the story of two young people, two teenage girls, and what happened to them. Okay, Nigel. So first off, we just got a few stats there, just to remind you of the effect that it has. Every day, 13 Christians are killed for their faith. It affects everybody, including the youth. And now we're going to hear the story.
و رفتم و دیدم که همه وسایلمون وسط خونه است، همه کتابامون، قاب عکسامون. و بعدش ازمون خواستن که بریم بشینیم روی مبل و از جامون تکون نخوریم. چند نفر بودن و چند نفرشون داشتن وسیله جمع می‌کردن، چند نفر همراه بابا بودن داشتن اتاق‌ها رو می‌گشتن، ولی اونی که کنار من و مامانم و خواهرم بود آروم بود و فقط داشت تبلت منو چک می‌کرد. دنبال پی دی اف کتابای مسیحی یا عکسی که با کشیشی یا کسی گرفته باشه. بله کتاب مقدس تو خونه داشتیم ولی همشون رو جمع کرد. بعدش همه چی رو جمع کردن بردن و بابا رو هم به خودشون بردن. بعد از رفتن بابا خب خیلی ترسیده بودیم و بله دعا میکردیم با اشکا. خب خیلی سخت بود و بله بعضی وقتا فکر میکردم که شاید بر نگرده، قراره که براش چه مجازاتی تعیین کنن. خب تا یه مدت تلفن‌های ما کنترل بود و شوهر خواهرم رو هی صدا می‌کردن، ازش بازجویی می‌کردن و ما دیدیم که خیلی بهمون دارن فشار میارن. هر جا می‌رفتیم می‌دیدیم که یه ماشینی دنبالمون میاد. اگرچه ما مجبور شدیم که از کشورمون بیایم بیرون و از خانوادهمون دور شدیم و الان اینجاییم، اما خدا انقدر کارای بزرگتری توی زندگی ما انجام داده که هنوزم ارزشش رو داره که من پیرویش باشم. فقط میتونم بگم که خداوند هیچ وقت ما رو تنها نمیذاره و اون وعده دهنده امینیه.
I believe in God because of my sister. She believed in Jesus first.
My older sister also shared the good news to my aunt, and my aunt believed in Jesus as well. I chose to believe in God because He is God. When I believed in Him, I got healed and no longer experienced the bad things I used to experience. Now, I believe Jesus is real. We say to each other, we have to continue to worship God. It doesn't matter what will happen because God commanded us. We continued worshiping until 12 p.m. The non-believers, village security guards, district police, and village chiefs waited for us outside until we finished our service. They invited us into their vehicle and said, "We will take you to the school nearby so we can talk with the village authorities about your situation." But they lied to us. They took all of us straight to a prison in another province. After I got out of jail, my friends and the villagers would give me strange looks and appear unhappy when they saw me. I went back to school as usual. Since I missed classes, I asked the teachers for the homework assignment. But the teachers would ignore me and excluded me from doing homework, so I failed. When the teacher gave the class another test, my answers were the same as my classmates, but they got 10 points while the teacher gave me only 5. My score was so low I failed the course that month. It doesn't matter what people say to judge me, because they do not read the Bible. They do not believe in God because Jesus has not called on them to believe in Him yet, so they do not believe that He is real. Because of this, I ignore what they say and how they act towards me. I know Jesus is Almighty. I read the Bible and it teaches me a lot. Non-believers will speak to me negatively, but I ignore them. God has helped me by reading the Bible. When I read the Bible, it encourages me, in addition to the support I get from my parents. At first, I did not like reading the Bible, but I started to like it because it encourages me. I also feel encouraged through my sister and relatives. I would like to encourage them to never deny God and to always read the Bible, because God's word has power. It is good to read diligently. Do not abandon God. Stand firm in Jesus Christ and believe that Jesus is real. Read the Bible and do not ignore God, no matter what other people say to you. We must put our faith in Jesus Christ and believe that He is real.
When we hear from the persecuted Christians themselves, they speak very powerfully, much more than I can. And what struck me about both those stories is that you've got two teenage girls there, and quite normal in many ways, we would say. I mean, the first one's sitting in a bedroom that would not be out of place in this country, and yet she's had to leave her home and her land with her family because they were Christians. And the second one, again, 14-year-old, put in prison just because she was at church, because she was worshipping with her family. So it is very difficult for us to understand. And yet again, the church is growing. Farah would be part of the what we call Muslim background believers. which is one of the fastest areas of the church growing in the world today? Well, it's very difficult to know because it's all in secret, but it is believed that there are 1 million believers in Iran alone. 40 years ago, there were very few. There were probably only about 500, but now there are 1 million. And in Iran, there are only 20 overground churches. The rest of them are all underground. And most of them are no bigger than 8 or 12 people, because that's the safest number that they can have. So we've got Farah, who was a Muslim background believer. She'd obviously converted from a Muslim background with her family. They raided, they took her father and the Bibles. And yet she says, God has done such great things in our lives that I still believe he is worth following. God will never leave us or forsake us and always keeps his promises. So how do they cope? Well, I think it's just, and this is what we've learned really from them as we went to Iraq and those that we've met, is that they see the world slightly differently from the way we do. And that's why I read that passage from 1 Peter, because they have a view of the world and a view of heaven that is more positive, I think, in some ways than us, because they live in a hope. They live in faith. And in this passage, there are just so many, actually, if you go home and read it again, you'll find it's just full of promise of hope and faith. So it starts off with our hope. Now, what is our hope? It's the gift of a new birth by the Father's mercy. It's a living hope to the resurrection of Jesus. Then it talks about our hope, and then it talks about our inheritance we have in Jesus, which will never perish or fail. It's kept in heaven, ready for us. And they all look to the future. They look to Jesus. They look to heaven. And it's secure. Our shield, we're giving a shield that is kept by God's power. It's available from now until Jesus returns. It leads to rejoicing. Another characteristic of persecuted Christians, when you meet them, so often they have a joy that we don't seem to have in this country. They are full of joy, even though they're struggling, even though they have troubles, even though they're persecuted. When we went to Iraq, many of them had lost absolutely everything. They lost their homes, they lost their relationships, they lost their church, they lost all their belongings. Some of them have lost their family. And yet they had a deep joy that was really astounding. What happened in Iraq in 2014 was that they were living quite happily in the middle of Iraq, what they call the Nineveh Plain. And then ISIS came on the scene. And one day they were feeling fairly secure, and they were warned that, well, you know, you just need to be aware of what's going on. And then at 5 o'clock in the evening, they were told, you need to be a bit more careful. But by 8 o'clock that same evening, they were told, you have 5 minutes to get out of the town. ISIS were on the edge of the town. And they fled the mile right across the plain to the Kurdistan on the northeast. 120,000 people fled together. Some walked, some took cars, but they just fled. They fled with nothing. And yet they had joy because they kept their eyes on Jesus. They may not worship like us, but they have one thing that is very strong. They all look to the cross. So we have our hope, our inheritance, our shield, and then our faith. Faith also is, after all, being sure of what we hope for. So we're back on the hope again. And its genuineness, it says in 1 Peter, is tested by suffering, which is of great worth. So when it's tough, Jesus is testing us. He's testing them. But it results in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. And then finally, our joy. It should bring joy, this hope that we have. Whatever our difficulties, whatever has happened over the last few years, we can look forward to seeing him, and they look forward to seeing him. based on our love for him. They have a love for him which enables them to go through, that is inexpressible and glorious. So their vision, if you like, is looking to heaven. They're not looking at the persecution. They're not looking at the problems. They look beyond that to what's in heaven. And they need to. Restrictions are growing everywhere. In China, if we wouldn't be able to have a youth group. Nobody under 18 can be taught anything about religion. They can't come to church. It's illegal to teach them at home. So we wouldn't have a youth group. We wouldn't have a young church. None of that will happen. In China, every pastor is registered. They all have a number if they're an official. And if not, they're in danger of going to prison. Nearly one third of countries across the world have sponsored restrictions. In other words, the actual government itself is monitoring and imposing the restrictions. And even in the West, we can see with COVID that governments have tended to go in that direction, which is fine when we've got a government at the moment, but if the government changes direction and we get into the habit of restrictions, then we need to be careful. So all around the globe, we can see that the darkness is increasing, and yet the light is also increasing. As the darkness increases, so the light shines brighter and brighter, and the church of Jesus is growing. So we can have an earthly view, we can just look at the problems, or we can have a heavenly view and look at the future. We can look at heaven and see what our future is and what our hope is now. But we can also remember that heaven is watching us. And sometimes we forget that. It says in this in Ephesians chapter 3. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Let's get that again. Through the church, that's you and me, the wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers or authorities in the heavenly realms. In other words, how we react down here is being watched by up there. We don't really understand that, but how we react, how we live, is being watched. According to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings. So again, not only if we're suffering, are we looking to heaven? Heaven are watching, and they're looking down on these Christians in places like North Korea and saying, wow, the church is doing amazing things. It is shining out as light in the darkness. And the principalities and powers, the angels, the whole realm that we have no understanding of is watching the church across the globe. And they're watching us. They're celebrating to us because we're together. That's good, isn't it? Afghanistan. Listen to this. This is a couple that have decided to stay in Afghanistan. This is recent. A couple called Syed and Fatima. They just had a new baby, a baby that was born the day that the Taliban took over. They're part of a Christian family. They've been Christians for 40 years. So it says, the pain of living for Jesus and risking everything to follow him is not new for us. For our parents and grandparents have been Christians for 40 years. We are on a list. Some have been killed, some have been kidnapped, some have just disappeared. And everywhere there is silence. But the biggest thing everyone asks for is prayer. When you pray, you meet us in God's throne room. Come to the throne room. Meet us there with the Lord. Let us hear your prayers and songs in the silence. For us, everything has been taken away. We need you to ask God on our behalf. We feel alone. Speak to him. Let him empower you and us. If you love us, pray for us. If you love us, pray for us. And that's what we can do. We can't go. We may not even be able to give, but we can always pray. We can always pray. And there's a bookstore, and I do, it's all, most of the literature there, it's all free. Take it away and just have a glance through it. It will help you to pray. There's lots of stuff to encourage you. You can sign up and get the magazine so you can pray. And then the story of Soy, the second story that we watched today. I think a lovely way she expresses it. To her, Jesus is very real. She was in prison at 14. That's not very old, is it? Persecution at school caused her to fail, to lose face. And you know anything about Far Eastern culture, of course, losing face is a huge thing to them. The shame of failing would be much bigger than it was in this country. She found the Bible difficult. Wasn't that a lovely little quote that she puts in there? I found it really difficult to start reading the Bible. How honest was that? You know, it wasn't some super Christian saying, oh, it's all wonderful. She said, I find it difficult to read the Bible, but I do read it. So she had to move city to go to school. That's what she says. She says, I want to encourage you to never deny God and always read the Bible, because God's word has power. Do not abandon God. Stand firm in Jesus Christ and the belief that Jesus is real. Read the Bible and do not ignore God. Whatever others say to you, we must put our faith in Jesus and believe he is real. What amazing words from her. And I think it's true. I mean, I think the Bible, we need it more than ever today. And I think it can help us pray for these people. We can take the promises that we said of 1 Peter and we can pray that for them. We can pray each individual promise, our hope, our inheritance, our shield, our faith, our joy. We can pray that for them, that they would know it and understand it in their difficulties, that they would know it and understand it in their situation. So the Bible helps us not only to encourage ourselves, but it teaches us how to pray for other people. So then what's our response? Well, I think our first response has to be thankfulness. Thankfulness that we have the freedom that we have. We may not always agree with what the government does or what the country does, but we at the moment do have freedom to worship, to gather together. And we need to be very thankful for that. Then secondly, we need to get informed. We need to know what's going on in the world. And then we need to pray and get involved. We can all pray, whatever our situation, even for a couple of minutes a day or for longer, we can pray for these folk because they value prayer above everything else. Yes, they have needs. They have physical needs. They have lots of needs. And places like the Centres of Hope help them with trauma care and with food and aid and everything like that. Yes, they have lots of needs. But above all, the one request that is always top of the list is pray for us. Because if you're in a prison, nothing else helps them apart from prayer. If you're in North Korea and shut up in a camp and you don't know whether you're going to survive the day, the only thing that can keep them going is prayer. Nothing else can. So that's why they're always asking for prayer. If you love us, pray for us. Let's finish with Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's our encouragement. So, yes, we have the freedom. Yes, we have so much. But we also have an obligation to pray for them, to not forget them, to love them. Let's pray, shall we? In Lord, we just come to you with thanks. Thank you that we can meet together. Thank you we have freedom in this country, that we don't have to worry about someone coming to the door or knocking on the door and taking us away because we're worshipping. We're just so grateful for that, Lord. But above all, we're grateful for you. We're grateful for your cross. We're grateful, Lord, for all that you have done for us and all that you promise us. And Lord, we want to give you our brothers and sisters across the world, Lord, that they might know that promise today, wherever they are. Those that are in prison, those that are suffering, those that feel that they can't go on. Lord, we cry out to you for them. For those in Afghanistan or Korea, China, Lord, you know each one. Father and soil. Jesus, we pray that you would touch them with your spirit. And Lord, we just pray for ourselves that you would help us to see. Give us your heart, Lord, to understand. Give us your heart to pray and to be concerned and not to forget them. So Lord, we just ask now that you would touch us by your spirit and open our hearts. Give us your compassion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we get to sing again. As I said, the cross is very important to persecuted Christians. It is the key to their survival. So we're going to sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, 755. Let's stand. Close, just one specific thing you can pray for this week. This Wednesday is called Red Wednesday, and many places across London and across the country are going to be lit up in red. Red because it's a sign of martyrdom. So that is being organised. And also this week there is a very big debate going on in Parliament. It's a three-hour debate on persecuted Christians in Parliament on Thursday. And those that are in Parliament have asked us to pray for it. They work very hard. If you're interested in politics, the all-party parliamentary group for persecution is actually the second biggest in Parliament. And it has over 120 members. And Fiona Bruce, who heads that up as the Prime Minister's special envoy, really does need our prayer. So do pray for them this week as they do that. It's really important to get the government on hand in this country. So do remember that. Wednesday is Red Wednesday, and Thursday is the debate. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you that you give us peace. Thank you that you give us joy. Thank you that you give us your hope and faith. And it all comes from you, Lord. And so, Lord, we want to accept it. And we want to walk in your peace this week. We want to walk, Lord, knowing your love this week. We want to walk looking to you with hope this week. So we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much.